This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Sell time, Michael. All right, so we're talking about greatness here, and we've got a lot of it in the state of Colorado right now. Nathan MacKinnon and Nikola Jokic. Between the two, they have two titles. How many titles, buy or sell, that the between those two guys, when it's all said and done, will have five championships between the Nuggets and the Avs, while Nikola Jokic plays for the Nuggets and while Nathan MacKinnon plays for the Avalanche. Buy or sell.
Five titles. I will be buying that.
Five titles?
Yeah, I'm buying some titles.
Might get to four this year. Might just go ahead and get to four.
Two parades.
Three, maybe.
Definitely the Broncos.
I'm buying five. I'm absolutely going to buy five. That would be so awesome if they could get this done. Right now, both of them are on that trajectory. The Avs look like the best team in the NHL. The Nuggets look like probably the second best team in the NBA.
And the Broncos are looking like the best team in the NFL, in my opinion.
I guess we're going to find out. We're going to find out on Sunday. Just how good the Broncos are.
Your opinion is on Sunday?
No, we're going to... You think the Broncos are good. You could put Bill Nye, the science guy at quarterback, and you would say, somehow I think the Broncos are going to win. I just don't know.
Bill Nye, the science guy, is an engineer, so he'd build a robot.
You buy or sell, this is going to be a breakout game for Bo Nix this season. He had a breakout game last year, but he's needing one. And it looks like J.K. Dobbins, if he is a go, it's going to be probably those 18 carries that he reluctantly got against the Raiders. I wouldn't, even if he suits up, I would not, I don't feel good about 15-plus carries for that guy. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing we've been talking about, is how their offense could be better. Is this going to be the game where, again, Kansas City's defense is good, their secondary's good, but is this going to be one of those weird games where suddenly Bo Nix is good when you take away his best running back?
I think Bo Nix is going to be okay.
Oh, just okay. You're not buying that he's going to have a good game.
I think he's going to be okay.
So
the
he'll
Broncos
be average.
The Broncos are going to rely on their defense to win again. And then Bo will start slowly getting better and remembering how to throw the ball like an NFL quarterback.
Jacksonville Jaguars head coach Liam Cohen said it's too early to start wondering about Travis Hunter's future as a two-way player. Travis Hunter, of course, he had surgery on Tuesday to repair the collateral ligament in his right knee. So he's done for the season. Buy or sell Travis Hunter's days as playing as kind of a full-time two-way player. Those days are numbered.
Undetermined.
No, come on. It's buy or sell, Mike. You know, come on. Sports talk radio. There's no undetermined. There's no riding the fence. Buy or sell.
Riding the fence.
Buy or sell.
I'm going to sell.
That his days are numbered?
No, I'm going to... I don't
playing
think his
two-way?
Days are numbered.
Oh, okay.
I'm not buying that. I'm selling.
I understand. I'm buying that his days are numbered as playing as a two-way player. This was a concern. Listen, if anybody could do it, he can do it. He's an amazing athlete. He stays in amazing shape. But every time you're out on the field, you increase your chances of getting hurt. And here he is as a rookie already with a significant injury. Yeah, I'm not. I know Deion Sanders is coming out and he said things throughout the season about how they're using Travis Hunter. They're not using him the right way. I think Coach Prime should figure out how to use his own players maybe the right way. But it's a fine idea, but these guys are out to hurt each other when the game's going on. And I know everybody says the right thing, and no one wants to hurt each other. No one really wants to hurt each other. Okay, fine. Some do, I think. But when you're in the heat of battle like that, and you're constantly out there, the chances of you getting hurt increase. They double every single week for this guy. So Cohen said, I understand that there's a lot of questions about if he'll remain a two-way player and all those kind of things. All of that is very premature, and at the end of the day, like every player on this roster, he'll be evaluated at the end of the season, and we'll be able to give him his three best, and the things that we need to continue to improve upon, and the things we need to build on. But right now, our complete focus is on the Chargers and getting a must-need-to-win on Sunday. You knew this was going to come up. If he got hurt, if he struggled, you know, I don't, like, Skip Bayless made his money doing the whole mad at him for getting baptized on Sunday. That was just absolutely ridiculous. But I do think it's a realistic conversation surrounding him as far as whether he should play both positions at a high rate. Can he? At healthy, he's lethal on both sides, and he can only get better. But I worry about, you know, we're talking about J.K. Dobbins to begin the season. Do you not give him a heavy workload, and are you worried he might get hurt? Well, imagine saying that about, and again, running back's different than receiver, I get that, but imagine saying that about a young player that's already had a season-ending injury, and yeah, we're going to trot him out there on offense, we're going to trot him out there on defense all the time. It's just different. It's just different. So I would imagine that's going to be something they really have to assess, and, you know, he said it's premature whether to say he expected Hunter to be the Jags' number one receiver and number one cornerback at some point. But he did say the team will study the way the team used Hunter in the 7 games before his injury. He said, I definitely think the whole process, the whole thing, is a learning experience. But getting to know the person has obviously been the most important thing, and the type of competitor, the way that he learns, the way that he competes, the way that he practices, the stuff that we've been able to gain valuable information on and be able to use moving forward and actually put in a continued practice. Yeah, man. And I root for Travis Hunter in a big, big way. I like him as a player. I loved watching him for the Buffs. And I love the person. I love the person that he was with the Buffs. And I like this guy that he's becoming now that he's a pro. But I want to see him. I want to see him have a long career. And, you know, we're talking about guys like Jackson Dart and Cam Scatabo and how they play. It's not sustainable. Is this sustainable? I mean, maybe you can come up with a couple of different. It's hard to say if he's your number one corner and then you say, okay, we're going to just have a few plays offensively for him. Well, then every time he's in, you kind of know that maybe there's a designed play going toward him. So that's why that's difficult to say we're just going to design a few plays here and there for him on offense. I think if you're going to do it, you kind of have to go all in on that. And I'll be curious to see how that one plays out. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. It is a fascinating thing that when we go back to the championship conversation around the Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets of, like, not only are they both really good teams, but they have these two players that are going to go down as two of the greatest to ever put on any kind of Colorado-type uniform. I mean, when we're doing the Mount Rushmore talk of just Colorado players, it's really difficult now. They're making it very difficult to not have Nathan MacKinnon and Joker on that Mount Rushmore alongside John Elway and, I don't know, Joe Sakic. It's kind of how I feel my Mount Rushmore has shifted lately. I believe it's probably Nathan MacKinnon and Joker and John Elway and Joe Sakic. It's difficult, but because there's some great Broncos players. You know, it's hard to keep Shannon Sharp off that. It's hard to keep Terrell Davis off that, but Joker is the best player in the league, and he's been the best player in the league for over 5 years. Nathan MacKinnon has been, what was that, Mike?
Oh, I was saying sarcastically off the air, not according to ESPN.
Mm. Well, according to his numbers, and ESPN has those numbers, he is the best.
Yeah, but they don't pay attention to numbers in reality. They pay attention to Los Angeles and New York.
Well, he does have three MVPs. So for him to override all that, what you're saying, is even speaks even louder about his greatness, or to his greatness, that he overcame that bias. No, he's not. You know, you go to ESPN this morning, and you're not going to see Joker on one of the top fives, on their top ten stories. I mean, it's amazing to me. You're seeing, you know, the Jameis Winston story, which is cool, but that's not one of the top stories. Is it, like, for us, we do top stories of the day, and those are typically national stories because we're already talking about Joker throughout the day. We're already talking about Nathan McKinnon, but those aren't on, like, their top ones. This is all clickers, you know. You got a McDaniel indebted to Quinn over sobriety fight. You got a bunch of serious stories, too. You got the Ortiz, Guardians Ortiz pleads not guilty to pitch rigging. I get it. Those are all big. But again, every night you wake up, it's a late game last night, and then you turn on and you see the box score and you look at Joker and you look at his points and you look at his assists and you look at his rebounds, but then you look at his efficiency. That is the things that he's doing can and continues to do when everyone knows he's a problem. No one can create a game plan around him. And the same goes for Nathan McKinnon. Coming off the MVP season, and then he, right back to where he left off, 32 points, leads the NHL. This is a great time in our Colorado sports history, and you got to sit back and just enjoy it. 8:30 tonight is what they say for Nuggets Clippers. I'm sad that I missed one game. I didn't watch last night. I went to bed early. I knew that if I started it, I was going to stay up and finish it. I have a mental problem with that. So I just decided I'm going to go to bed early, wake up, and see some great results. I do not like to live that way, especially when you have one of the all-time greats playing. Every time you get to watch him play is magical. 17 minutes after the hour, we're going to have Sean Keeler from the Denver Post join us. We'll talk about the Colorado Avalanche coming up next and whatever else he's cooking on in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Keeling Me Softly with the Denver Post, Sean Keeler, coming up next.
For a complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs, listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition, every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
With Sean Keeler right now from the Denver Post. Sean, my man, always great catching up with you. There's a lot of great stuff to talk about. Some negative stuff, but for the most part, with our pro teams, some pretty exciting things, man. It's all good.
Let's lead with that. Let's lead with the negative.
It's always
stuff.
Fun to lead with the negative
no,
stuff,
it's
Sean.
Good. I mean, it's a gilded age for Denver pro sports. I mean, Broncos 8-2. How are they in for? They're 8-2 every week. It's like a cartoon every week of the last 6 weeks. I'd be like, 3-2. I don't know if they're that good. 4-2. I don't know if they're that good. 6-2. I don't know if they're that good. 8-2. I don't know if they're that
yeah,
good.
Yeah, still don't know.
It's going to be like 12-3. We're going to be like,
They're going to they're going to win the Super Bowl. We're going to be like, I still don't know if they're that good.
Not going that far. It's almost like a Drew Litton cartoon. You're just like, we just keep saying it, and it's like, well, prove us. They keep proving us wrong. Good on them. So. Yeah, I had the split screen for Avs and Nugs last night on my YouTube TV because I could still actually watch both, which was great. And I'm just like, yeah, this is a golden age, you know. And then we've got the, you know, Paul D. Podesta in the Rockies. So, you know, everybody dance.
Well, and you know, honestly, is the optics of the Paul D. Podesta thing is, it's weird. Oh, let's take a guy that was with a bad football program and bring him back to baseball. But
let's get the guy who got Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Go wrong.
Right. And was probably helpful in moving on from Baker Mayfield, too. So, yeah, that's neat. But all the things he's saying right now, it's nice to hear it. I don't know what it means, but it's just kind of like, yeah, I like the project. I like building teams up. I'm excited. You know, at least, you know, I guess it could be worse. I guess, I don't know if it could be worse. Yeah, I'm not sure.
You know, again, this golden age, we're going to, with the three good teams in town, we're going to start with the Rockies. So,
yeah.
let me give the Moffitts credit where it's due. They didn't stay in the family.
Yeah,
okay.
True.
That's, he got an outside voice. Okay, check mark, green, little green check mark. Good job. Okay, now, is this somebody up to speed? Is it out of the box, out of the family? Yes, check, check. Is it the most innovative hire you could have made for the Rockies, who are still kind of running MS-DOS? Yeah, maybe. I wrote about this a little last week. I kind of wonder if Dick thought he was hiring Jonah Hill and found out it was Paul by mistake.
Yeah.
And instantly he's like, that guy's a Colorado guy. I love Peter Brand in that movie. Wait, that's not him? We got the other guy? Yeah, no, it's the other. Never mind. Yeah. That said, here's what it strikes me as. Here's where the Rockies can't stop being the Rockies. Okay, so yeah, we are going to complain in this time of great pro sports success. Are we just doing Breidich all over again?
Yeah, well,
maybe we're doing it better. We're doing it with like the Uber, like Breidich was D. Podesta 3.0 with more jerk thrown in. But we're gonna go back to that Ivy League baseball player formula, and that's the Rockies going, well, God, it wasn't great. I mean, but it was pretty good, wasn't it? And you go, yeah. So really, they're outside the box, but they're not outside their comfort zone. Are they, when you think about it?
Yeah, well, in this hire of, okay, I get it. He's the like one of the fathers of analytics and such, but isn't everybody doing that now? Isn't everybody looking at, and I'm making it very basic, but isn't, you know, from the movie Moneyball, the way we kind of Hollywooded that up, it's, oh, Jonah Hill just went and, you know, looked up all the on-base percentages, and said, these guys get on base. Okay, great. Well, you and I could do that, Sean. And I'm belittling the position. I get that.
No, but the point stands that this is not someone, not only not cutting edge, he has been in the game for 10 years.
Correct.
So you have bought, congratulations, you have bought a state-of-the-art 2006 Subaru Forester. So what, you know, and they just, oh, look, it's got a satellite radio. It looks brand new, but it's the kind that's removable.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they're at. And, I mean, it's better than the Yugo they've been driving, but it's still sort of they're just, God, the Rockies are just kind of this crazy uncle that you just want to get this right. They're a crazy uncle with money, and you want them to do well, and you want them to be healthy, and you want them to be rational, and they just can't stop being crazy. So if this minimizes the crazy, great, but I think because of who owns it and who runs it and what they've done, they don't get any benefit of the doubt. All they get is doubt. You don't get benefits when you're like 500 in your last 3 years. You don't get to do that.
Yeah, you don't go in. You don't expect fans to, you know, again, if you do your legwork and you go, okay, well, here's what he did, here's his past, all this stuff. But what most people look at is, oh, you got a guy to run baseball ops, but he was in football for the last 10 years. Oh, he was with the Cleveland Browns. They're like one of the jokes of the NFL. That's the easy stuff. And unfortunately, the Rockies have made it easy for us to just go, no, we're just going to look on the surface on this. And that's what you got right now.
Well, yeah. And what happens is you have people going, huh, why does he want to work for you?
Yeah.
And he says the right things. And,
yeah,
and my
sure.
colleague Patrick Saunders has been right on top of that, chasing him down in Vegas. And, you know, so he said, I want to challenge. Well, you've got one. I want to beat the Dodgers. Well, don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be saying it, doing it are so, so different. And I'm still very curious who broke off the talks with the other two published leaders? Because I don't think that was bunk. I think a lot of younger, more progressive candidates looked at this and, for what I've been told, said, oh, I can't, you know, can I hire this person? Can we staff up the analytics? Because if you're not going to staff up payroll, you need to staff up the minors in your analytics side. And they were told maybe, and you couldn't get rid of X, Y, and Z. And that's going to be a deal breaker for a lot of people. And I maybe clearly wasn't for Paul, but I think that may say something about Paul, really. Because again, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. I mean,
again,
yeah.
The Browns. And that's, oh, okay, Dion, jerk, you were wrong. Well, maybe we'll see. You know, we can all bring up anybody's blights, but I'm curious at least. It's not boring. It's a little out there, and a little out there is interesting. But man, this is monumental. This is not even as good a job as it was 7-8 years ago. This is a lot harder than what Paul thinks it is. So I wish him well.
I do too. I'm with you on that for sure. Sean Keeler joining us from the Denver Post. All right, so the Avs stopped this. I mean, the Anaheim Ducks, like this young team that just was red hot. And look at the Avs, man. They're rolling. They look like the best team in hockey. Nathan McKinnon's doing his thing. Gabriel Landeskog got on the board, got him a goal. You're seeing outstanding goalie play. Wedgewood gets the first one to get 10 wins. All that's great. But there's one thing that they're really bad at, and they continue to be bad at this, and you wrote about that in the Denver Post. You wonder when that's going to start rearing its ugly head. The power play situation for the Avs is just it's amazing how bad it is.
Yeah, I think they bumped up last night. They won 4-4, right? Marty Natchez,
yeah,
got a dirty one. You got it. That's where you do your dirty stuff. If you can make that work down low, I say 1-4. I think they're up to 17.9, 18.
Pretty
good. They're teasing at 18%. Look, I did a deep dive on this, and during morning skate, I asked some guys about it. And finally, Victor Olsen could not have been nicer for a guy I hadn't met before, Super Dude. So, you know, good on them for kind of owning it up. I think they're kind of fascinated as well because hockey players can be pretty big picture as well and objective about what they are and what they aren't. Here's how good the Avs are and how weird the Avs are. The Avs went to Edmonton. They're defending, you know, Edmonton. They win 9-1, and they go 0-7 in the PP. I mean, that takes some doing. That isn't a normal performance. I think they want to. I think they look at this as a process in development, and they're going to experiment now while they know that their 5-on-5 is the best in the league. Let's be blunt; it pretty much is that they can just kind of play around with it, tinker and make this be kind of a proof of concept deal, and see when the going gets tough, they'll have to see what they are or what they can bring out in April, May, June when it counts, obviously. But yeah, they look at it as a good problem. I think Olsen said, and I don't know if it's in the column at DenverPost.com right now, but you can read some of the numbers because they are they're on pace to score something like 388, 387 goals with a sub 18% power play conversion rate. I looked it up. In NHL history, only one other team has done that, and it was the 93 Canucks.
Mm.
Nobody else has done that profile where your 5-on-5 is so prolific and your special teams are so meh. But I think they feel they can be more aggressive the way that Martin Natchez was kind of a poacher goal there that he got down in the corner. That's good. And they think they can work a little bit better down low. Maybe they can get a little dirtier. And I think there is fallout from not having three Hall of Fame guys on that top PP. I know, he's Pat Joranton again. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Let's just be real about that. But if Natchez can fulfill that as he did last night, great. That gets you going in the right direction. And Olsen said, yeah, we could shoot more. We could be more aggressive there. And maybe going forward is that confidence build. I think they look at it like we're a 300 hitter who's off to kind of a 2-for-40, back to baseball, who's off to a 2-for-40 start. We'll get there. We'll catch up. We'll make it work. But historically, the number I keep an eye on is 20%. And this is in the column there too. I think I found the last 10 Western Conference champions, whether they won the cup or not, 8 of them were at least a 20% power play conversion rate. Only 2 of the 10 who made the cup finals were below 20%. I think of the teams that were in the bottom 10 compared to those in the top 10. There were a lot of teams that were in the middle at PP. Again, if you're just kind of okay. You'll probably be fine. But if you're bad, that's hard to win with because that does carry over in the postseason. And that's what this team is about. That's what the franchise is about. And we will see if they get it figured out in the next 4 months. Lord knows they have time. That's
yeah.
Good news, isn't it?
Well, what do you do? I mean, again, it's easy for me to sit here and go, well, just shoot more. Just take more shots. Does it seem like they're just trying to find the perfect shot so much? Because it is tempting, you know, when you have that advantage, just keep working the puck around. You have the opportunity to do that and complete a lot more of those passes and just work it around. Is it as simple as just take more of those shots?
Well, someone other than Nate or Kale has to step up because we're back to the Mikko thing. I mean, I remember this in the 22 postseason. Again, you've got to try to defend with 4 guys and maybe 3 Hall of Fame snipers, right? How's that going to go? Like, and they were excellent. I think they were 33% conversion rate in the cup-winning year in the playoffs. And I think they were 27-28% in the regular season. I mean, they were excellent because they just had too much talent. Like, you couldn't, with a man down, you couldn't defend all those guys. But now, if you have 2 Hall of Fame snipers, 4 defenders, what do? You cheat to Nate and you cheat to Kale, don't you? So I think it's incumbent on somebody like Marty, and it sounds like you pick on Nate just a lot. Yeah, I probably do. But there has to be a third guy. And maybe that's Val. Maybe that's Lekkinen. Those guys are more screener types. Those are guys you stick in the crease. Gabe is a great crease player. I mean, maybe you have to kind of tweak personnel as well. But that's the difference. And I think about that and I laugh and I think, yeah, that's really hard to do. And they were able to capitalize on that. And you could say, well, they weren't as good. Actually, they've had pretty good postseason power plays with Mikko while he was here. It just suddenly was really, really noticeable in that Dallas series when he wasn't, among other things that were noticeable. So, yeah, shoot more. Yeah, play lower. I've had fans who are much more hockey savvy than me say they've got to crash more. They've got to be more aggressive down low. And I think it's incumbent on a third guy. And right now that would probably be Marty in that first line. And, you know, maybe when Colton gets back, he could be that guy for a second unit too. So they're good. Another thing Olsen said to me, stuck with me. He said, you know, I would rather be bad on the power play and good in 5-on-5 than reverse, because I don't know you could fix a 5-on-5.
Yeah, it's true.
Because that's a roster. And he's right. It's a roster thing. Special teams, you can tweak and change combos and change guys and then land on something that sticks and figure that out. And so, yeah, there again, classic first world problems. They're in a good place. And the great thing is we're going to be complaining about seeding, about Nate for MVP, and then about what they've got to do to win a title, because they are clearly in that mode, and good on them. That's the point.
Yeah, it's actually really phenomenal. You got to find something. You can't be, right, I mean, right. Even the best teams, no matter what we're talking about here, you just simply can't be perfect in everything, but it's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, they're just a little better there. That's scary. Because, again, they were like 26-27% with that cup team, and they're at 18, pushing 18. I think if they just get to 20 with that much talent, that much depth, and presuming you have that much health, wow. We'll find something else. It'll be just so you know, there'll be a goalie controversy. Get ready. That's shaping up next. We'll create one if there isn't one. But again, I shake my head because they're just good problems. It's kind of like when I watch the Nuggets. I'm like, oh, Cam Johnson's off to a terrible start.
Yeah, right.
And I kind of look at it and go, yeah. And I go, he is. Cam Johnson isn't as good a player as Michael Porter Jr. That's why you made that trade and why you were able to offload that contract. You weren't. We've talked about this, and this can't be stressed strongly enough. I don't think anyone wanted to get rid of, per se, well, I mean, their fans who might, but I don't think anyone on the basketball side wanted to get rid of Michael Porter Jr., the player. What you needed to do was get rid of MPJ, the contract. And the fact that you're able to do that gives you Cam. It hurts you, and yeah, you downgrade in one spot. And then I like watching Tim Hardaway shoot. I like watching Valanciunas come off the bench. That's what that does. So, yeah, they're all little nicks that we can go at, but they're pretty big tanks going through right now, and it's fun to watch.
Sean, while we have you on the Broncos side of things, what are you hearing about J.K. Dobbins?
The tea leaves are not great. I've had colleagues who thought he was going to be IR at any minute, so I would just be prepared for that, and you can be snippy and cynical, like our good buddy Sean, and say, well, how would we know if he was hurt? Because if he wasn't active, because he never uses him in the second and fourth quarter anyway.
It's going to be like as if nothing changed.
Yeah, but you will notice that absence if he's not there, and you will notice it in a game that's, I mean, it's bigger for Kansas City. Let's be real. And it's so weird. The roles have kind of reversed. And because they have in the standings, you kind of don't know what you're going to get, except I'm pretty sure everybody thinks the Chiefs are going to have the desperation, and maybe the refs as well, to get this thing right. Because if the Chiefs are 5-5 and the Broncos are 9-2, that's done, isn't it?
Like, it feels like it.
It's over.
Yeah.
You have conceded the scepter. It's Sean Payton's. So the problem with J.K. and his health, even if he's active, is concerning because you have to keep the ball away from them. It is clear, you know, we can argue defending Mahomes, you know, what the Vic method, you have to get rush four, flood the zone, you know, confuse him so that he thinks he has to throw but then has to make mistakes, or you don't blitz him because he'll find that guy. You know, the formula's kind of there. But the ultimate way to beat the Chiefs is for that guy to just not be on the field. And that's going to be harder to do if you don't have Dobbins. So if I were a Broncos fan, I would be a little concerned about that, because I think the Chiefs have circled this one because they have to. I mean, they just have to, because if they do win, then it's a race. And then the networks get what they want, which is a pennant chase right to the end for the division, and Mahomes and yada yada and Taylor Swift and all the rest of that garbage.
Well, and Andy Reid's pretty darn good after the bye too.
He is really good after the bye. So we started with not good. We're ending with not good, but hey,
you got to do something. Sean, appreciate you as always, my man. Great stuff. Keep it rolling, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Sean Keeler, Denver Post, 41 minutes after the hour. Michael, breaking news from Shams over at ESPN for the Clippers. The Nuggets play the Clippers tonight. Bradley Beal will not play. He will not play the rest of the season. Los Angeles Clippers guard Bradley Beal has a fracture in his hip and will undergo season-ending surgery, sources tell ESPN. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
You know, with J.K. Dobbins potentially being out, people are asking, like, okay, how confident are you in R.J. Harvey? We talked about this weeks ago, that I wanted to see, yes, I want to see a healthy dose of J.K. Dobbins, but I want to see something from R.J. Harvey on somewhat of a consistent basis. And my fear was, if J.K. Dobbins gets hurt, which history would suggest that he will at some point this season, we're not going to know who R.J. Harvey is. I kind of like him as this joker position, but as a running back, as being the premier running back on this team, we don't know. We don't know, and that's on Sean Payton. We didn't get a chance to see him that much this year, and this goes back to his whole philosophy of not really running the ball. And when he does, he runs it in chunks, forgets about it, and then comes back to it later. That's an issue that you just got to hope does not come back to really bite him in the butt, because right now it feels like it's going to.
I was going to say, R.J. Harvey, who?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. you just haven't had this chance to see what kind of player he's going to be. And we said the same thing about Audric Estime, different draft class. I understand that. But by the end of the season, everyone was like, who is Audric Estime? Did we really get a chance to see him, get to know him? Well, now you got the same thing happening, but this is a second round draft pick. And that's frustrating, man.
Guess we'll get to see him now.
I guess. I would assume so. And if we come in the show Monday and RJ Harvey has 5 carries and Jaleel McLaughlin has 6 and Bidet has 7 and it's a running back by committee thing, it's like, why did you draft him in the second round then? If this is what it was going to look like.
And what the hell are you seeing in practice that you don't like him enough?
Yeah, yeah. It's a concern. 48 minutes after the hour, what did we learn today on the whole show? Powered by Chevron. We'll do that coming up next.
For a complete rundown of all things high school football playoffs, listen to the postseason special presented by Clearwater Products on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what?
All right, what do we learn today on this 12th day of November? We learned that we don't really know who RJ Harvey has. We don't, or is. We don't really know what the Broncos have in a backup running back. We also learned that Nathan McKinnon hasn't lost a step at all. In fact, it looks like he's getting better. It looks like Joker's getting better, and that is, it's mind-blowing to me. We're seeing something truly special. Michael, what did you learn today?
I learned that it's not 105. I learned that we can all unite over the NFL having some rules that are a little inconsistent. I also learned that Faith argues more calmly than I do.
There you go, Mike. All right, coming up tomorrow, we've got Kevin Lytle will join us from the Colorado and talk some Colorado State Rams. Rams playing Cal Poly tonight on the basketball side of things, so I'm looking forward to that. And the Nuggets play at 8:30. Should be another win. Bad news for the Clippers. I don't think Kawhi's playing either. So that'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Thursday for a Thursday night special, too. Got to get right on Thursday night. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.